Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Yeah.
Oh, stretching.
Welcome to another Monday. Another Monday means it's time for Trables. More Trables. More Trables. More Trables. I think this is the ninth episode of Trables. Tim Andrews, dude, side podcast, Radio Labyrinth, where I just talk, ramble. I have plenty of things to talk about. I have been listening to old audio of my family. I guess I was I must have been 4 years old. Must be my fourth ever Christmas on this great planet Earth with my grandparents, my aunt and uncle, my great-grandma, my great-grandpa, my dad and mom. What a treat. I haven't heard my dad and mom actually have a conversation with each other, and I can't tell you how long. Well, it's very brief, but it's very funny. Very funny to hear them bicker back and forth.
We'll try it once, see how
it may go. Then you forget me.
We'll leave the cards down there.
Get mouthy.
Oh, don't get mouthy, says Mary Jane, the mother. So what brought all this on? Why did I? Well, I mentioned before that my father did get me this device, a very, very nice device that you can plug into a VCR or a cassette player or a DVD, anything that plays audio, and capture it. And so this morning, I captured some audio. Now, I had tons and tons of tapes. They're all gone, all these cassette tapes. But I do want to get better versions of these and the ones that I still have. And then I want to put them through Adobe, because Adobe can filter out all the noise and use AI to make the audio sound better. So anyway, welcome to Trambles, episode number 9. I just thought that was cute. There's other audio clips from that Christmas, and that clip of my mom and dad is actually my granddad got a cassette player recorder, Panasonic cassette recorder, and they would sit and play cards with their friends and family members and then record it, right? They would record everything that went on. And there's a couple of those that you listen to, and they're just so interesting. And what really, like, my grandfather thinks a little tipsy and he spills something, and they go to pick it up and let the sweeper get it. And then there's Christmas one where I got a gun, not a gun that shoots rubber BBs, right? And I was so excited about it because the gift I opened right before it was underwear and, underpants and an undershirt. And I think I was a little excited because if it had been 2 or 3 years later, I wouldn't have been excited. But I think I was 4, so I was pretty darn excited. My dad, I open your presents, but what really makes me smile, the whole thing makes me smile. My whole nostalgia and being there, opening presents on birthdays or just eating and having a family dinner and things like that, is that that's really the core of all the people when I was younger. The core of people that I enjoyed being around, and to hear my uncle making wisecracks, joking a little bit about my gifts. I want to hang out and play with your toys. And I got a cowboy and an Indian set. Now, I realize it's 2024, back then, that's what it was. It was a cowboys and Indian set. And I think I probably got that year probably Lone Ranger and Tonto, and I got the big horses. These things were really cool when you were 4 in 1974. However, the thing that really brought it up is I've been trying to – I lost over the years my ability to do a central New York accent, Western New York. Not necessarily Great Lakes, but of course you've got Buffalo and Rochester. Rochester, the way the A's are there. Now, being that I grew up in the Twin Tiers in Elmira, New York, Corning area, south of Ithaca, northern Pennsylvania, it's the southern tier of New York, the northern tier of Pennsylvania, with that long border that we have there, and the nasalness, the nasal voice. But it's not just the accent, it's the way people talk. It's the way people converse with one another. And the things that they talk about when they're sitting around. I had so many of these types of conversations, or I wasn't in them so much as I was there listening to adults speak. cousins and people who were friends with the family, that everybody would get together and they would talk about, you know, food and who they saw at the store and what people are doing. And as they got older, about ailments. And it's pretty much just ailments now. And I'm in that group now. I'm over 50, of course, 53 years old, and in that group of ailments, trying to remain young since I have a nice young son. But anyway, so I went on YouTube to try to find examples of the accent because I want to start doing something with it as a bit. And it was tough to find any, but I found this one. I think this is the greatest video that I've ever found.
You got him.
All right, I'm going to start it over again. But this is the greatest video I've ever found on YouTube in my entire life. And I'm going to play it and pause it and just break it down a little bit. It's The Central New York Accent is the name of the video. I don't know who the hoster is. It's a very short clip of people sitting on a porch talking about fish.
You got him.
He loved
them. Okay, no, they're absolutely... Know what we did, Lorraine? We fried...
You know what we did, Lorraine? Okay, every conversation that I've heard in my life growing up as a kid around a group of people started, you know what we did? You know what we did? Here's what we did. Here's what... You know what we did? And that guy commands the conversation for the next 10 minutes.
Today, Odd brings out... She brings a little deep fryer right outside, plugs it in the side of the camper, so...
Oh, no. You know.
See, everybody went camping by a pond or a lake. In the wintertime, summertime, springtime, she brought her little fryer outside so the camper wouldn't smell, you know, and so she put her right out there by side, and everything's up in the nose there, and, you know, she did well because we got that fryer, we got Fry Daddy for Christmas. See, Christmas isn't the right way to say it. We got the Fry Daddy for Christmas. Christmas. So you bring it in. Christmas. We got the Fry Daddy for Christmas last year, and she brought it outside so camper wouldn't stink like oil, you know.
No, it just keeps the fry oil out from the smell from inside.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
I drank this amber, this dark amber beer. That makes good with the batter. We got turned on to buying Price Chopper fish and chip batter mix.
Price Chopper fish and chips batter mix. Isn't that great? I love that. I mean, if you're from that area and you no longer live there, and it's been a while since you've been around that area and your family's not there anymore or whatever, but you go to this little video here, and the reason it's so powerful for me is it just transforms me. It takes me back to that conversation. Now, these people are talking about what they're talking about. And what I mean is that I've had this conversation, whether it was about aches and pains, whether it was about a different kind of haddock. They have good haddock. Every Friday, they got really good haddock at that place. They got a beer batter, or they got this kind of batter, or they broil it, you know, and they do broil it there. But they also cook it inside of, they got it in a broiler that you can get it fried, or you can get it breaded and baked. All sorts of wonderful things. Here's a little bit more of this. Central, now I don't know who these people are, but I do, if you catch my drift.
It comes in a little bag for like $3. It's the batter, so we buy that. Of course, it says mix with water. Well, you mix with beer.
See, well, he's proud of the fact that, you know, you go to Price Chopper and you get this batter mix. And it says mix it with water. Well, you know, we use that amber beer that I got. Boy, that's good.
We throw the Old Bay seasoning in there, and she deep fries them for like 4 minutes.
Now you hear that lady in the background? Oh, my God. That was somebody's aunt. That was your mother's friend, or your grandma's friend that always, you know, accentuated the conversation. Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, I knew Wendy. It's great.
Drop them in right? So they're totally deboned, all right? When we gave you fish before you,
yep.
They're totally deboned.
You
drop them in that batter, and then you just drop them in that deep fryer for like 4 or 5 minutes at the most.
Drop them down in there 4 or 5 minutes at the most. And, you know, God, you wait, and it comes out. Of course, since you're not in the camper, well, the camper doesn't smell.
We did, Lorraine, on the side of the camper, so batter, so we buy that. Of course, it's a seasoning in there, and she deep fries them for like 4 minutes.
Awesome.
Drop them in they're totally deboned, all right? When we gave
deboned.
You fish before you,
yep.
They're totally
yep.
deboned.
Awfully.
You drop them
yep.
in that batter, and then you just drop them in that deep fryer for like 4 or 5 minutes at the most,
Jimmy gave us some.
They're delicious.
You know what she did? She put them in that Ritz crackers, the garlic.
And then this is the guy coming in with a different thing, right? Well, I know somebody who put them in the Ritz cracker mix. Like, she'd crumble up the Ritz cracker and then throw a little garlic powder in there.
Well, that butter works. Are they good?
That gives you that garlic.
Are they good?
Oh,
absolutely. There's a lot of ways you can cook fish.
Yeah.
You know what? Charlotte, that used to own Charlie's Tool.
Yeah, see, his buddy across the table, you know, threw out the Ritz cracker thing, so... You know, hey, took command of the conversation. This is this guy pulling it back and saying, well, I know somebody who does the Ritz cracker thing, too.
I loved her. For
sure.
There you go. I loved her. I want to be at that table having a beer.
But always, she was the first one to have haddock on the Ritz, she called it, to my knowledge. Yep.
And that's the end of that video. And I think that the person recording it, they didn't know that they were being recorded. And I think had they known, they wouldn't have been so normal acting. You know what I'm saying? They wouldn't have been because, you know, people, nobody likes to be recorded. And it looks to me like a videotape. So I'm saying very early to mid 1990s, maybe. But anyway, I love that little slice of history. So whoever posted that on YouTube, you know, thank you very much. But I think that now that I got it, you know, you got to be careful with the vowels when you're talking about being up there, you know, because I was in Elmira, and then I have a cousin of mine that lives in Bath. I have a cousin of mine that lives up in Bath, and everything kind of gets forced up into the sinuses a little bit, you know. And I have the tendency to try to say "bah." They don't do that, so it's a little bit different than, you know. Well, she had a very special recipe on how to make brownies. She would go to a Price Chopper, and they had a good deal on Duncan Hines brownie mix, and then she'd bring that brownie mix back to the house, and instead of using butter, well, she took a bunch of cannabis, you know, some pot. You know, her nephew there, he grows pot up near Seneca Lake. He's got a place where he can, you know, hide it so the police choppers don't see it. So she's growing the pot. Well, her cousin's growing the pot. And then he brings down all the pot and, you know, gives her some of it. And she just, you know, she'll put the butter on the stove and throw the pot in there and let it kind of just, you know, simmer inside of the double boiler. You got to put it in the double boiler. Yeah, that's what you have to. It'll burn. Yeah, so you put it in the double boiler and you kind of let all that stuff that's inside of the plant and all the, you know, the pot buds there, you know, seep into the butter. It's kind of slow process, you know. You can't rush it. You're not cooking it. No, you're not cooking it. The best way to get it is to not cook it. Yeah, that's right, Brenda. Yeah, you don't cook the pot. You just sort of put it inside of the butter that's in the double boiler that's cooking, and then you got to get cheesecloth or something like that. You know, maybe a strainer, but you want to get all that stuff out of the pot that's inside of the butter, right? And then you squeeze all of that out of the cheesecloth, you know, or, you know, like a bread maker's cloth or something like that. And you can strain it first, but I recommend that you, after you strain out the, you know, the pot and the butter, and then you just let it cool overnight. Yeah, you don't want to use it when it's cold, until it's cold. You want to use it when, you want to use it when it's solid. And then you take the Duncan Hines brownie mix and you put it in there. And just like, gosh, if you know, you just use the butter like you normally would, you take that butter and you put that in there. And man, when you get it in the pan, you know, make sure to use wax paper in there. You know, they say just grease it, but I grease it and then I put the wax paper on it. And she pours in all that mix. That brownie mix that has the pot butter in it instead of the regular butter. And then you put, you know, walnuts or whatever you want on top. You know, I like to put, you know, chocolate chips inside of it. And then we bake it just like you would normal. Now, you have to label that because, you know, the kids get in that. They're going to be in all sorts of, you're going to be crazy for about there. You know, one time that happened with Timmy. He ate one of those pot brownies that... Oh, God. Well, the good thing was he ate a pot brownie and then he took a gun to school and then he got one day in school suspension because that's what happened back then. Got one day of school in school suspension. But I'd like to take that brownie out there, And we was out at the lake, you know, in the camper, and a bunch of us just decided that instead, well, it's a Friday night, let's open up some beers and eat a couple of these brownies. And I ate about three of them. And I got to tell you, for the next 24 hours or so, I was just having, you know, for about 2 hours, I just laid down in my sleeping bag and looked up at the stars, you know, watched the planes go over and thought about life and you know, why, what I was going to do eventually with my life, and, you know, and I just was, you know, why am I sitting out here in the freezing cold in a sleeping bag staring at the stars because I'm so high, just wishing I was, you know, someplace else maybe, you know, and that's just how it goes. That's just how it goes. I ate too many things like that, and, you know, you don't get the munchies as much as you do when you smoke pot, but when you smoke pot, you know, anyhow. So anyway, that's kind of a little riff on that. But so thank you to the YouTube uploader, and I think I'm going to be able to get that accent back.
And, of course, we have with us tonight Dr. Calvin Zuko, who caused quite a controversy with his theory of the myth of the female orgasm. Dr. Zuko.
That's right, Charlie. There's no such a thing as a female orgasm. Women don't have orgasms. This will all be in my new book entitled Foreplay or Just Plain Stalling.
That little clip was featured Charles Rocket and Gilbert Gottfried. And that is from Season 6, Saturday Night Live, which I am presently watching someplace online where they have all of them. And that is a season that is regarded by everyone in the television industry, in the world, in the comedy industry, all the people that pay attention to all these things and then come back and tell us, you know, what's good and what isn't good. They're the ones who regard this as being probably the worst season of all times. All time. It's the worst season of all time. Now, the reason it's viewed that way, obviously, is because for the five seasons prior, it was Lorne Michaels, the Not Ready for Primetime Players. The 79-80 season, Aykroyd and I believe Belushi were mostly, for the most part, gone. So Bill Murray was really the driving force as far as guys. I think he was doing the news with Jane Curtin. And they just kind of wrapped it all up. I remember that final episode was the great one with the Lord and Lady Douchebag, because I remember watching it. And, Buck Henry was the host, and then they did a bit where they pretended to introduce the new cast. None of those people were really the new cast, and then it was done. And then for some reason, the season didn't start. The next season didn't start until November, and it was after the presidential election of 1980, so Carter was a lame duck president, and Ronald Reagan was the president-elect, and the host, the first host of that episode, or of that season, was Elliot Gould, and primarily the only person that anybody recognized. So, season 6 of Saturday Night Live had an interesting cast. You had Danny Dillon. Now, Danny Dillon, if you're a fan of TV, you remember the show Dream on HBO. She was Brian Benben's assistant, the sassy blonde. And she did a variety of different characters. She played Amy Carter. Gilbert Gottfried was a main cast member that season. They should have kept him. Gail Mathias, who did a bunch of characters. Joe Piscopo, really the main guy in that cast, even though he wasn't supposed to be. The guy who was supposed to be was Charles Rocket, who did the news and did a bunch of film stuff and on the street stuff. In fact, there's one episode where he goes to, they're talking about John Lennon and Yoko Ono having a new album coming out. And so he goes to the Dakota building and he asks people working around there and basically annoys the hell out of them. Ann Risley. Now, those are the repertory players. And Eddie Murphy shows up in the second episode of that season, but he doesn't have a speaking role. He's doing a bit, something about black Republicans, except they use an outdated word. Not the bad word, but the other N word, I'll say. And but he doesn't have any speaking credit. Now, what it really all boils down to is that when Lorne Michaels wanted to take a break, he was burned out. And so he suggested that Al Franken take over until he was ready to come back. NBC said no. Dick Ebersol was part of all that late night television stuff. And they decided that they would go with Gene Dumanian, Jean Dumanian, I think that's how you say her name. She took over the show, and it was just chaos. They ended up bringing feature players in, Yvonne Hudson, Patrick Weathers, Matthew Lawrence. They passed on people. These are the people that they passed on. Jim Carrey, Mercedes Rule, Sandra Bernhard, John Goodman, and Paul Rubens. All those people, they said, nah. And look at all that talent. Now, they did them a favor because all those people went on to do great things themselves. Mercedes Rule won an Oscar for what was the name of that movie? The Fisher King. She won an Oscar for that. She was great in that. Jim Carrey, of course. My God. Sandra Bernhard, John Goodman, and Paul Rubens. So they all went on to do these great things. The season did not go well. There was also a writer's strike in 1981, which screwed things up. And Dumanian, if that's her name, I'm not going to go back and correct it. She was fired, and then Dick Ebersol came in and took over. But what I'm doing is I'm watching these. Oh, by the way, they kept Eddie Murphy, and they kept Joe Piscopo, of course, fired everyone else. I wish they had kept Gilbert. Could you imagine how great he would have been working with those two as the show progressed? But again, he went on and did bigger and better things himself, Gilbert Gottfried. I was watching an episode, they were doing something about nose wrestling, and one of the people in the background, who was it? I have a brain fart. I have such a brain fart right now. Oh my goodness. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Saturday Night Live, season 6, I'm rewatching all of them, and, when I'm done with it, I might do sort of like a side, probably on this podcast, but do like an episode breakdown. I sort of just did the first one, very, very limited amount of breakdown on that because there's so much more to talk about when it comes to Saturday Night Live and season 6. But my progression was Saturday Night Live, and I remember the first time I ever watched it live was with my mother in our apartment above my grandparents' photography studio when we first moved back to my mother's hometown from Elmira, New York. So we moved to Mansfield, PA. My mom was living above them in an apartment. And so she slept on a couch. I don't remember the sleeping arrangements. But anyway, she was watching it. Steve Martin was the host. The rubber chicken, the arrow through the head, the banjo. I found all that to be very, very funny. Fast forward a little bit. Carrie Fisher from Star Wars was the host. She comes out dressed as Princess Leia. I watched that episode. O.J. Simpson. He's the host. I watched that episode. And then, you know, for some reason, I don't remember watching season 6. It would have been at my dad's house on the weekend or my grandparents' house. Probably not allowed to stay up that late. For some reason, I don't remember those. But Dick Ebersol took over 81, 82. And from then on, it was game on watching SNL every single weekend. Every single Saturday night watching those and then eventually watching SCTV afterwards. And, of course, on Friday nights watching Fridays on ABC. And so I want to talk a little bit more about that as I progress. But it's fun watching these episodes. I like watching the stuff that Gilbert is in and Gilbert Gottfried because it's fun and it's funny. Anyway.
Please open the door. Nothing is different. We've been here before. Pacing these halls, trying to talk.
That is Billy Joel's brand new song, Turn the Lights Back On, which was put up on YouTube 4 days ago, has 1,006,427 views as of this recording right now. Turn the Lights Back On. I don't know if he has a new album out, and I didn't know what to think of this when I saw that it was ready to go and that he was going to post it, but I really dig this song. It's giving me a vibe. It's giving me a pre-1990s Billy Joel vibe, actually. Maybe a little bit of the piano reminds me of scenes from an Italian restaurant. Or The Stranger is the name of the album, The Stranger. Which I think is my favorite Billy Joel record. This song just does so many things. It reminds me of the fact that at one point in my life, I was a huge Billy Joel fan and absolutely worshipped him. And I had all the records when I had all the tapes. And then I listened to him quite a bit. Broke it down to Billy Joel. I got my uncle John got me the VHS tape with all of his music videos on it. that I found to be pretty awesome. Right up until Stormfront, 1989, and We Didn't Start the Fire. After that, I didn't really enjoy much of his release, but I don't think there was much after that. The River of Dreams, that song kind of grew on me. But Turn the Lights Back On kind of just grabs me and says, hey, this is Billy Joel. Remember Billy Joel? You used to like him. And this song will remind you a little bit of what you liked about him. And I hope there's a new album with a whole bunch of songs like this. Because, like I said, I used to be a Billy Joel fan. And this doesn't sound like it was, like his vocals were run through any kind of processing or anything to me. So, never seen him. And I'd love to go see him. So, hopefully, the next time he comes to Atlanta, I'll fork up some money. But his voice is amazing. He's 75 years old, or 70-something years old, and kicking ass. So, thanks, Billy. All right, well, that'll about do it for this episode of Trambles. I'm going to come back next week and talk about some other stuff, probably, you know, talk a little bit more about, you know, Saturday Night Live from season 6 there, 1980-1981. But, hey, you know, keep it canon, and gosh, here's that commercial.
The following advertisement contains celebrity impersonations and is not an endorsement.
Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by Atlanta Pizza and Gyro.
I think it's pronounced Gyro, Michael.
Gyro.
Whatever.
Atlanta Pizza and Gyro is ready for the winter season with over 40 beers in cans and bottles, and 16 beers on tap, with 12 of those being local Georgia and Southeast craft beers.
Their current featured selection is Jekyll Brewing's Cooter Brown Ale. This brown ale is the perfect wintertime brew with its silky smooth body, sweet caramel and chocolate aroma, and a slight refreshingly bitter finish.
They once again would like to thank all the radios and fans for listening to this podcast. Stop by the restaurant and mention you heard about them on Radio Labyrinth for a free dessert.
By the way, their food truck is on hiatus until late February due to winter weather, but there are always exceptions. And if you want to reserve a specific date, please contact Mike Hall at 770-483-6228.
And don't forget, they're open for dine-in and takeout Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and noon to 9 p.m. on Saturday. They're closed on Sundays.
That's nice.
There's a legend behind Cooter Brown Ale. Cooter Brown supposedly lived on the line which divided the North and South during the American Civil War, making him eligible for military draft by either side. He had family on both sides of the line, so he did not want to fight in the war. He decided to get drunk and stay drunk for the duration of the war so that he would be seen as useless for military purposes and would not be drafted. Ever since, colloquial and proverbial ratings of drunkenness have been benchmarked against the legendary drinker, as drunk as Cooter Brown or drunker than Cooter Brown. Yeah, we've all been there, boy.
Do you have commercial or residential construction printing needs? Sure, we all do. Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Reaper Printing of Athens, in Athens, Georgia, since 2005, with fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Sick of procurement bottlenecks, endless back and forth, and last-minute surprises? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify and automate their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement. You'll know whether spend is approved before you buy, and Bill's AI-powered automation helps reduce errors so you can make purchasing decisions with confidence. Plus, Bill Procurement puts everything you need to match and pay invoices right at your fingertips. So dump your clunky procurement process and keep your business moving and growing with Bill Procurement. Purchase, pay, and on with your day. Right now, score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Just go to bill.com/procurement200. Don't wait. That's bill.com/procurement200.